folks. This is Ted Cantu with another episode of Unagency. We've got the Jesus and Mary chain right there from Warner Brothers Records, I do believe. And that's an old song, Far Out and Far Gone, I believe it's called, or Far Out and Way Gone. That is an old favorite of mine. After the J&M chain are back with a new album as of about a year ago. It's the one with the vegetable soup letters on the cover. Something like Dismal Joy or something. It's always raining whenever the Jesus and Mary chain play. For Christ's sake. I don't know why it's like that, but it is. Scottish rock and roll. You can never see the bright side of things. But you can, however, make that distinction, which is why you're here. So welcome. Glad to have you. All right, so we're glad to have you here today. I'll tell you what gives you joy, what gives me joy, is a brand new product we have that's ready for the masses. We're rolling out some amazing cheat sheets right here. And our first one was delivered today. We've got the restaurant marketing cheat sheet. What in the world is that? You know, it's a PDF file that you can download off our new site, tedcantu.com. And you go there and you can actually download this wonderful one-sheet Q&A type thing. It answers all your questions about online marketing in one shot. First of all, it gives you a big list of the keywords that you should be using, which is really great. And hopefully that's obvious enough when you look at it. It says best keywords to use. It also has best marketing strategies, what we think are the best. And we also have YouTube facts right here. And I'm just going to kind of go ahead and go through this with you. And a little shameless plug right there for our new podcast show right here on Podbean. And, of course, our phone number, which is 248-277-6141. Check out these keywords. They say things like local restaurants, all one phrase, restaurants near me, places to eat near me, best restaurants near me, restaurants near me now. And you're thinking, so what? Big deal. It is a big deal because the thing is, these keyword phrases were researched off of a keyword database bank. So these keywords were typed in real time by consumers who were looking for you. Maybe not you specifically, but somebody who delivers food in their area. So we've compiled the best of the best and put them on one sheet. Now you could also do some things with these too, as far as putting these type of tags into your geo-targeting campaigns, into your geo-target website pages, and web media such as YouTube. Now, speaking of YouTube, we've got two different sections right here where it says the YouTube facts. All right, so obviously it's the second largest search engine, and the other good fact about this is that people go to YouTube first to research things. And did you know there's over 300 hours of video uploaded every minute on YouTube, which actually means that you should be using it, right? So don't forget the best marketing strategies, which we talk about. Geo-targeting web pages, it's my favorite one. I like mobile-friendly web pages. I like those too. And YouTube videos for the obvious reasons. And Google 3-pack maps, which is really, really awesome. Some of you guys get this. Some of you guys understand that you need to be in the top 3 maps to get some traffic to your online location. some of you guys don't really seem to care one way or the other because you got lucky. And somehow your maps by default put you on top because you've been there the longest. But for those of us in the real world who have competitors front, right, left, and center, we want to compete in our space. So if that's the case, we need to do that effectively. These keywords can actually help you get there. You can download this beautiful, beautiful online marketing cheat sheet by going to my website at tedcantu.com/restaurant_cheat_sheet.pdf. And we will have that link here for you on our podcast episode today. We've got some more coming your way. We've got some more real estate online marketing cheat sheets. These things are awesome. And some of them will have strategies taken from Twitter and Pinterest and other online channels that you can look into and download too. So the cool part about it is that we plan to do these by industry so we can actually give these away and show you a better way to promote your business. Pretty cool stuff, right? And they're absolutely free. That's right. They're free for you. And these are really, really great things to know. That new site is coming along just fine. We've got some things we're adding on to it. This is our podcast. We do this show every day here for you, free of charge, right here on Podbean. We could also be found on iTunes. And a little bit about me. I am Ted Cantu, ex-art director from Chicago and New York City. I've been doing online marketing now for many years. I was actually part of one of the first generations of guys that was out there doing it and actually has real agency experience. You're not going to hear any F-bombs on this show. You're not going to hear any things like, hey, dude, do it like this, and any kind of other vernacular slang that really just cheapens the industry. I just tell you from the gut what I do. I'm a book guy. I'm also a writer, and I've been doing this a lot for many different industries. So I kind of know the ins and outs, and I don't need to rely on sophomore jargon to appear cool or hip or anything else. I'm just here to give you the straight information and give you the straight dope, if you will, and without all the fluff. And if that's not appreciated, there are many other places you can go, my son. And if, for those who are serious, stay tuned because we got some great things happening here. Right now, we're looking at the book Permission-Based Marketing, actually called Permission Marketing by Seth Godin, which is turning strangers into friends and friends into customers. Internet marketer pioneer Seth Godin says he wants to change the way almost everything is marketed today. Will you give him permission to show you the future? I say you should. Now, this book came out quite a while ago, but there's some really, really great things that I want to share with you on it. Now, since it is Throwback Thursday, I decided to look at this book and to also kind of pick it apart and see if some of these theories still hold true. The chapter I'm going to pick is about online marketing, web marketing, and I'm just going to read a little bit from it, and we'll decide whether or not it's still valid, okay? I'm just going to go right ahead and jump into it. Chapter 8, page 143. It says, everything you know about marketing on the web is wrong. How the web is misused is an extension of broadcast media. Well, let's look at this. A quick look at the shelves of books written on marketing online would give the mistaken impression that it's impossible to profitably market your company on the internet by treating it like a broadcast medium. The authors of these books believe that since they can run ads on the internet and get viewers, and those viewers can be marketed to, a brand can be built, and eventually sales will follow. Now, this is interesting because this is not necessarily true. Now, he goes on to say that it's important to take a solid whack at this vision of the internet because it is leading to the loss of billions of dollars online. And worse, because of these losses, it's making many marketers pessimistic about the power of the internet as a marketing tool. The idea that the internet is a medium, just like TV, supports the old way of thinking about marketing, but it just doesn't work the same way. Okay, let's just hear him out for a minute, because things have changed quite a bit since this has been written. The internet is not a multi-channel universe that will soon be stocked with terrific news shows and personalities and movies on demand. It seems as though every time a new medium comes along, everyone wishes it were TV. When video games were introduced in the 1970s, the race was on to make them more TV-like. When consumer software games and educational products first came along in the 1980s, the goal was to beat Sesame Street. When CD-ROMs were introduced later in that decade, the hot companies were those that were putting their resources into motion and sound, offering a cinema-like experience. Why the rush to emulate TV? Well, there's two very good reasons. First, every American believes that he or she is born with two inalienable rights: the right to be elected president of the United States and the right to direct a major Hollywood motion picture. Being president is no fun anymore, and so now everybody wants to be in show business. This is funny. These aren't my thoughts. These are Seth Godin's thoughts, but I do find them amusing because they are kind of... So there's some truth here. Let me just continue and I'll give you my thoughts. Why the rush to emulate TV? He goes on to say that the problem with show business is that it's a brutal business with a very small number of insecure people having all the fun and all the glory. High school with money, some folks call it. And the second reason is that the FCC and then the cable companies have always severely limited the number of channels available to producers of TV. First, there were three networks. Even today, there are really only 10 major players, with most systems hosting 30 or 40 available channels. Okay, so he just goes on and say that basically the web was being projected by, you know, TV. But now, let's just jump ahead a little bit. It says, the idea that a 500-channel or 5 million-channel universe is incredibly compelling to a lot of major media companies. They said the cost of creating a network dropping drastically, but they failed to consider the fact that with the number of channels going through the roof, the value of adding another a network comes increasingly closer to zero. Wow. So he's got a lot of thoughts here about what it takes to make the web and how it can be used and what are we trying to accomplish? How can this be measured? What is the cost of bringing one consumer one time to our website? And what is the cost of having that consumer return? If this works, can we scale it? These are some of the big questions that we have. And he starts to really kind of talk about how that can happen. Now, his rule is interesting, though. It says that if you build great content, people will return over and over. What do you get if you cross an insomniac with a dyslexic and an agnostic? Somebody who stays up all night worrying about whether there really is a dog. Hi. Little joke there. Okay. Very little. But the point is, you want to get people to come to your site if you got really great content, something to offer. We go into the mission statements, too, of a couple of days ago. We were talking about epic content marketing, that your site, when it's really, really directed, should have like three major focal points to it and nothing more than that. Instead of trying to just be too, you know, too bland, you know, you don't want to do that. Remember, people won't come back unless you remind them to. Imagine a magazine that relied only on newsstand sales with no subscribers. That would be the Inquirer, by the way. And a traditional commercial website is just that. It's an online magazine with no regular subscribers, no home delivery, and no way to get people to come back. The one-shot anonymous visit is a sure route to failure. Now, he says that you can sell stuff on the web if you invest in a secure server. And he also talks about search engines are the key to traffic to your site. And this is kind of useful information. But, you know, it's been some years since this book's been written, but a lot of this does hold true. So it says, the web is like TV. No, it's a poor substitute for TV, and faced with viewing the web as a substitute, those who want to watch original Switchback, and Bill Gates spent more than $500 million trying to build programming for the web that would lead to repeat traffic. Every single one of his efforts to create a show has failed. The more you make it like TV, the worse you do. And that's interesting. I think that's true. Except for the case of Netflix, which is really not like TV at all. You can just kind of pick what you want. With millions of channels, the economic model for creating first-rate programming has been eliminated. In the meantime, the combination of low bandwidth and virtually infinite number of choices has essentially made it possible to build a TV-like content business on the web that has a chance of paying off. Wow. So, prescription and permission-based marketing, subscriptions. You know, you want to have people subscribe to your ideas and your content, and you want to make it so meaningful for that core audience that they're going to want to come back over and over again, because that's the joy of it all. We're running out of time right now. We'll be heading back to our studio on Friday for one more podcast for the week. And we're going to cue up the music and everything else. Here's some insights of what's coming up on our site. We're going to have a lot more of these great online cheat sheets for you. As far as I know, no one else is really doing it quite the way we do. And if you don't see your industry on my site, please, by all means, write me directly at tedcantu@gmail.com. Give me a phone call at 248-277-6141. This has been Ted Cantu. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching, if you're watching us on YouTube. And you can download us always on iTunes. And you can give me a shout at 248-277-6141. This has been Ted Cantu and Seth Godin coming at you from the mean streets of Detroit. And we'll see you tomorrow.